And we are back, the Kickback Pod, back once again for one of our favorite podcasts of the year and one of you guys' favorites when we break down our favorite sneakers of the year. And yeah, it's already the end of another year, which I can't believe. I feel like, I know I say this every year, but this year especially, man, it flew. It absolutely flew.
Well, a lot has happened in the last 12 months, both related to sneakers and streetwear and also not. Yeah, man, it's been a wild year for me personally as well.
Yeah. I mean, since the last time we spoke, I think you've had huge changes in your personal life.
Yeah, my wife and I, we had another child. So I am now the father of two. And
congratulations.
Thank you.
Man.
Thank you. And Josh and I were talking before this podcast about a video he was watching about somebody talking about how, like, you have one kid, you have one, but you have two kids, you have 10.
Yeah.
And in Germany, there's a saying, it's called Ein Kind ist kein Kind, which means one kid is like not having a child. Mm. But once you go to two or more, you're in for a wild ride. And I mean, it's been okay, you know. I think the biggest thing has been the lack of me time. And, you know, like, that's why it's been so rare that we've sat down since then. Yeah. Actually, this is the first time since then. Because it's obviously tough to find time to make that stuff happen, you know, when you're working full time, supporting your partner and kids and all that kind of stuff. But it's definitely easier because you realize that these freedoms that you had before you had kids, they're going to come back at some point. You know, like, in the last 3 years, we got to a point where with Lenny, like, it was so easy for me to take him and then Hannah could do her thing or vice versa, right? And I know, like, I'm hanging on to this. Like, I know at some point that time will come as well. Yeah. Even with two kids. So yeah, but man, big change over the last 12 months, but super, super happy. Yeah.
It's been really tough for me also to do these pods, which I really, you know, apologize to you guys. We try to find as much time as we can to do these pods. It is a labor of love. But we are very, enough of those excuses though. We're very, very happy to bring this pod to you guys. Do you, by the way, like, I know this is going to be a last one of the year. Are you doing anything for Christmas and New Year's this year?
Bro, am I doing anything for Christmas? Yeah. I love Christmas. No, we're celebrating in Berlin. My mom is coming up. And I think I'm always talking about this and, you know, but like you get another appreciation when you have kids, because you're like now celebrating Christmas through your kids, or at least for me, like, through your kid. And so I'm so excited to, like, we got, I don't know if you know Elf on the Shelf.
Yeah, dude. my wife was just telling me about this yesterday. She was sending me all these TikToks of funny Elf on the Shelves.
Yeah, so good. So basically, for you guys who don't know what it is, you can buy like an elf and you get a book with it, and it tells the story of like an elf on the shelf. And basically this elf visits you in the night, does some sort of like naughty chaos creating thing at your home, aka the parents set it up, right? The kids wake up and then, you know, they're surprised every day with a new joke or prank that the elf has pulled on them. And you're not allowed to touch the elf, because if you touch the elf, the magic is gone and then Santa might not come, right? So that's how you get the kids not to mess with what you've done. And it's just so fun to, like, come up with these creative things to do. Like, some of them are so dumb, right? But, like, once we, like, TP'd our Christmas tree and then put the elf on top of the Christmas tree. So, like, he did it, you know?
Yeah.
Or, like, drew, like, on our stove, we drew, like, a smiley face with ketchup and put the elf next to the ketchup bottle. Just, like, really, really dumb stuff. But, like, my favorite thing is, like, waking up in the morning and then, like, my son goes, "Dad, should we go see what the elf did today?" And I'm like, "Yeah, let's go do it." Obviously knowing what he did. Yeah. And then we go outside and he's like looking for the elf. And he's like, "Oh, there he is. It's the best thing ever, man. So like Christmas gets like 10 times more fun once you have kids. So yeah, we're going to be celebrating. And I'm actually looking forward to hosting, because I've got like a set menu for the first, for the 3 days. So for the 24th, then the 25th and 26th. Those are like the three big days in Germany. Yeah. I'm going to be doing something different each day. Like a roast chicken on one day, a Sauerbraten on the other, and then homemade pizza on the third. So kind of mixing it up and stuff like that. Yeah.
I'm also hosting Christmas this year. We've got some friends coming over, my brother who's here. I have some family here now. So yeah, I'm looking forward to that. The elf on the shelf thing actually really makes me excited to have a kid and come up with these creative ideas. The funniest one I saw by far was I don't know what kind of kid this is intended for. This was a weird idea, but someone put a Barbie doll in a KitchenAid mixer. Uh-huh. So the KitchenAid mixer was spinning around the Barbie doll, right?
Uh-huh.
And then there was like a Pinocchio doll next to it with like the Supreme like money gun, like shooting money at it. And it was like that T-Pain, I'm in love with a stripper playing in the background. I was like, oh my God, who came up with this?
That's so good. That's probably like they don't even have kids in that household. They just do it because they love like coming up with these crazy things. I saw a video once of a guy, like the dad didn't know what the Elf on the Shelf did. The wife set it up, and basically she set up the Elf with his like PS5. So the Elf was like holding the PS5 controller and all that kind of stuff. And because of the rules, you're not allowed to touch the Elf for 24 hours, right?
Okay.
The dad was like so pissed because he couldn't play his PlayStation. So, like that was like the one thing that he was like looking forward to. I think it was like the weekend or something. He was like looking forward to playing his new game. And then he saw the Elf with his PlayStation and the kids were like, oh, we can't touch him now. And he was so angry. But yeah, good times. What about New Year's? What are you doing New Year's?
Honestly, like this sounds so boring, but I actually can't even do anything on New Year's anymore ever since getting my dog.
True.
Because like my dog is super sensitive to the firecrackers and all that. So like he gets like super nervous, like almost like having like a heart attack almost. So you got to really be close to him and all that. So I honestly, the last couple of years, I haven't done anything for New Year's because of that, but it's fine. It's fine. It's just one day. It's not a big deal.
Fair.
So yeah, that's not much plans for New Year's, but let's get into this episode.
Let's
okay, so we got a big one. So we're going to be talking about, first of all, our end of year top five, right? Like each of us have a top five list. We'll give you some of our overall thoughts of the year, just how it's been in the year of sneakers. We have a lot of honorable mentions because there were maybe like it was no standout number ones, but there were a lot of really good shoes that deserve being talked about. And also at the end of the episode, we'll be giving you guys just one prediction we have for 2026. So before we get into all that, as usual, we talk about what we've been wearing lately. So Fobs, what's been on your feet?
So right now and over the last couple of weeks, I have been wearing my New Balance 860 V2s.
Ooh, that's a nice colorway.
Yeah, I don't know what it's called. Some sort of like pink midnights. I don't know, whatever. But one of my favorite shoes, actually. I love like the 2000 Runner big hole mesh. Super comfortable, as you know, with New Balances. And as you said, overall, very, very solid colorway. You can get a lot of them. There's, you know, the pink switch out with blue, whatever. Then there's a little bit more colorful ones. I think there's been a few collaborations on this shoe as well. Aim Leon Dor, etc.
Yeah.
So I've been wearing that quite a lot. It's kind of become the shoe that, you know, you always have a shoe that like just sits at the door that you slip on, you're going out
mine
to the
is
post
also,
office.
My shoe by the door is also a pair of black 860 V2s.
Oh, nice, man. Great minds. Yeah. And then actually over the last few months, so, you know, it's been this kind of like thing in the podcast that I'm kind of a creature of habit and I'm always wearing the same shoes over and over again and I have all these shoes that I never touch. Well, actually, over the last couple of months, I've been putting in a really concerted effort to wear different shoes. And so I've been pulling out like the Social Status Nike Dunks. I've got the strawberry.
Those mid-top ones?
Yeah, the mids. Yeah. I got the strawberry milk, the chocolate milk. I've worn both of those to the office. My Canyon Purple or Purple Canyon Air Jordan 4s. What else I've been wearing? Cecily Banson, A6, those like
2160s?
No. The latest one that came out, like the 360, what is it? The Gel Quantum 360s? The ones with the straps, like the...
Okay. Wow, I didn't know the Gel Quantums came out.
Yeah, like the... I mean, they came out last year, but I've been wearing them quite a lot, even in the winter with socks. So yeah, man, like trying to like diversify my bonds a little bit when it comes to sneakers.
Okay, yeah, no, that's good, man. That's what's the point of having all these shoes, right?
This is true.
you gotta wear them, yeah. So lately, this shoe actually would go in my new pickups as well. I picked up a pair of the Jound Club C's, the black ones with the suede on them. Someone was selling it on Instagram, and I just bought it off of him. And yeah, that's been like daily beater at this point. Like it's really amazing suede on there, and it's just It's a great winter shoe, really. It goes with anything. So I've been wearing that a lot. The A6 hidden pairs, both the Dusk and the Dawn collab on the, what is it? The Gel DS Trainer 14.
Oh, yeah.
So there was two pairs that dropped almost like 2 to 3 weeks apart from each other. And I've been rocking those a lot. I wore those to London recently. Yeah, I mean, very comfortable pairs. And big shout out to Hidden. I have to give a shout out to the guy because I don't even know who he is. No one knows who runs that page, but he's been a big supporter of my channel for years and has always been, you know, seeding me pairs. So shout out to you, man. And then finally, the last pair I've been wearing a lot is this right here. I got it on my feet right now. The Shea 001s. This is my favorite colorway. Is it called Charm Black or Midnight Black? Not sure. But I've been rocking these casually, man. I never really rock basketball shoes casually, but these ones work. They're kind of comfortable too. I wouldn't say they're like, you know, New Balance comfy or anything like that. But yeah, they work pretty well off the court. So I've been rocking them lately, and I, you know, want to support Canada's finest, Shea, on that one. So
The NBA's finest, man. He is
currently the NBA's finest.
I mean,
yes.
Finals MVP, MVP.
He won every single award possible last year.
Dude,
so
guy's a baller, man. And I was actually on Reddit looking at this thread, and it was looking into like the what do you call it? Like the advanced statistics,
yes,
right?
Yes.
And they were saying that both Shea and Jokic are having like next level, GOAT level
seasons
when it comes to efficiency and impact and everything else. Like, it went through like all of the different advanced metrics that are accepted as like the most accurate ones.
Mm-hmm.
And they were either like Jokic was slightly ahead or Shea was slightly ahead, depending on which statistic you took. And then they compared it to like historical numbers, and like it was something ridiculous. Like, yeah, according to this metric, Shea's having the third best season of all time, and the only two that are better are Jokic this year and Jokic 2 years ago, or something like that, right? Like, it was just like something nuts where both of these guys are just balling out, and they're such different players too, right? Different people, different players. It's kind of cool to see.
NBA is kind of weird this season, I would say, because you have this one team that is so head and shoulders above everyone else, right? I feel like the Spurs are maybe the only team that can really challenge them. The NBA Cup game from a couple of days ago was probably game of the season so far. So I'm looking forward to if that happens in the playoffs. But yeah, Shea, his 3-point percentage is 45% this year, which is like just ridiculous. Just
wild.
Yeah, I mean, he's enough about Shea, but yeah, he's definitely definitely one of the, or if not the best player currently. So yeah, I've been rocking his shoes. As far as latest pickups, so I can give you some of the shoes I just got, the Shattered Backboards. I think I said in the last pod that at some point this year I'll buy those shoes. Mm-hmm. They're one of my favorite Jordan ones, maybe, you know, ever. And for Black Friday, Nike was having a big sale, 40% off. And on top of that, I had a 20 euro coupon. So I ended up paying 86 euros
so good
for that pair, which is amazing, man. Yeah. Come on, you can't go wrong with a pair of Jordans. So I was super happy to get that, add that to the collection. It's like, since I ever started collecting sneakers, you know, that was one that I'm like, I need to own this one day. Also, they're the colors of my favorite football team, Cincinnati Bengals. So that's part of the reason why.
We just got smashed, right?
Oh my God. Just forget about this season, man. This season is disgusting. The other pickup, just picked this up yesterday. It still hasn't arrived. But the ASICS Gel Quantum AMP Black colorway. I already had the white one, which is the Jound pair.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why I had to get the black one is because, like, for me, this is the most comfortable shoe I've worn this year. And for me right now, it's the most comfortable shoe in my collection. So I'm like, this black pair, I know I'm going to get a lot of use out of it. I love that there's pretty much no branding on the shoe. And the comfort is unreal. So the black pair, got it on sale. I paid like $105 for it, which I was very happy with, from Asphalt Gold. Shout out to them. So picked that up. Excited to get that. And the most interesting shoe I picked up recently would be the GT Future, the basketball shoe.
Mm-hmm. What colorway?
There's only one colorway that released so far, the silver one.
Okay.
I actually had no idea until I picked up the shoe that the entire upper is 3M. So it looks crazy, actually, like if you put a light on it, like the way it reminds me a lot of, you know, like maybe the Yeezy 700 MNVN little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And even maybe the Yeezy Quantums to a certain extent. But I know nowadays everyone just says every shoe is inspired by Yeezy. But this pair, like, it's interesting. It's kind of like a Foamposite / Nike Hyper. What is that shoe called? The Hyperposite? Or no.
Hyperdunk?
Not Hyperdunk.
Flightposite.
No. I think it's called Hyper. Man, I'm gonna put a picture up. I forgot the name of the shoe, but yeah, it's cool. You know, like it's really interesting. I don't know if it really works as an off the court shoe. To be honest, it's super hard to pull off. But as far as the tech goes, Nike does say that it has the best tech possible. There's like Nike Kushlon. There's Zoom X on there, and it does feel really responsive on feet for that reason. But I wouldn't really wear it casually though.
So where do you wear it then? In the gym or?
So far I haven't even worn it at all, to be honest, man. So like it's probably just a ball shoe, so I might just end up sending it back, to be honest. Yeah.
Right. It's definitely an interesting shoe. I remember when that one, wasn't it Wale who was wearing it at Fashion Week or something?
I think he had his own collab on it or own colorway on it.
Something like that. Yeah, and he was wearing it, and then people were like, "Whoa, what's that? Like, yo, that looks like, you know, like you said, like a Foamposite, Flightposite, 2000s Nike basketball shoe. Nice. Yeah, I actually looked back at this year and realized that I only bought one new pair of shoes this year.
The
that
whole
I kept
year?
For myself. I bought a lot of shoes for my wife. A lot of nice ones that I would have liked for myself, but I was like, you know what, like get her some, elevate her shoe game. Obviously some sneakers and shoes for my son. I bought a few used pairs, but like none that like released this year. But I do have a pickup, so it was my second new sneaker of the year. And I have it with me because it arrived literally 2 hours before the recording. Ooh. The Salomon MM6. I think it's called the XT MM6.
Correct.
You sent me your reel of the comparison between this one and the XT6, XT4.
Yes.
So this is their own take, right? Like it's obviously very similar, but it's got its own kind of style and design. I got it in the, I love to call this the Ferrari colorway just because of the red and black.
Yeah.
It's obviously not the Ferrari red, but man, I love it. I haven't worn it yet, but... very nice shoe that I'm sure we're going to talk about a little bit later. So
you notice the bottom, how it doesn't have the, you know, the typical like threading.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because they designed this for lifestyle purpose. I was super happy about that because I always found the threading, like, because I don't go hiking and stuff in the Solomon. Yeah. So it was super uncomfortable walking on regular surfaces with that.
Yeah, I it's also got like thicker padding, I think, in the back bit.
Yes, and
so
the toe box is the best part. It's way more wider.
So
that's why you can like I go true to size in that pair, but in all the XT6, XT4, I'm always half size up.
Yeah, so I actually sized up on this one, but
okay, see how it feels.
Should be fine, I think. I'm looking forward to, I haven't even had time to slip my feet in them, so I might actually wear these to the office tomorrow. Who knows?
Okay. No, that's if you're going to have one pickup this year, that's a worthy one for
definitely,
sure.
Definitely. And then, I mean, I picked up a lot of like clothes and stuff. Black Friday, got a Nike balaclava because I'm all into that like Bali lifestyle, you know, like winter's here. And
What's the name of that? You know that rapper SD Kid? Have you heard of him?
Yeah.
Like who everyone's saying it's actually Timothée Chalamet.
Yeah, I saw that.
That dude just wears the balaclava like all day, every day. No one's ever seen him without it.
I wish I could do that, but I'm a serious person with a serious job, so I can't do that. Nah, anyway, so yeah, my pickups here. I would say let's get into the episode, huh?
For sure. So, our big topic is going to be the top five sneakers of the year. But first, let's just talk about some overall thoughts on how this year has gone in sneakers, right? You want to start first?
Yeah, I mean, obviously the last few months I haven't been so in tune with what's happening due to having a second kid and not really being on social media, but I did go through kind of, you know, people's best of lists and what, you know, High Snob, High Beast, etc. were writing about the year. And I mean, obviously also the first 8 months of the year that I was present and engaging in content, I have to say it's another 12 months where there's no clear winner when it comes to brand of the year. And I think we've discussed this many times also, not just in the end of year episodes, but just in general, that the trend is moving towards there not really being a clear dominating brand anymore, at least, you know, when it comes to like the zeitgeist, the culture movement. Obviously, well, like the numbers and the sales speak differently.
Don't say that to Complex though. You've seen their top 10 list.
I mean, that's just like those boys are biased. Those are the biased boys. I mean, what is it, like 90% Nike?
It was
right?
No, it was like 90% Jordans, man.
Yeah. I mean, Nike, Jordan, whatever. Yeah. No, but what I thought this year was interesting was that, like, I thought women's sneakers got really strong.
Yeah.
Just in general, like, women getting nice colorways of unisex sneakers, like women's exclusive colorways that aren't necessarily like feminine colorways, but just like dope colorways that also dudes want to wear. Yeah. But, and this has been a kind of little obsession of mine this year, I've really been into like Mary Jane sneakers.
Like the ballet style?
The one, yeah, with the strap. Okay. So Adidas has one with the like the Adi foam, you know, that like really could like...
Yeah, I think like the Mega Star?
Yeah, something like that. Mega Foam Star. Whatever. I actually really wanted to buy a pair, but then they sold out in my size because obviously women's sizes sometimes end at like 40, 41, 42, and I need a 42 and a half.
Okay.
The Puma Mostro, they have like a women's version, theirs. The Puma Mostro Fay, which I think is actually quite dope. Like, it reminds me a little bit, you know, like that the Flesh sandal from Oakley, how it has that like strap built in.
Yeah.
So it's very similar to that. I think that there's a lot of sneakers coming out with this like Mary Jane style. Obviously, you have also in like luxury fashion, you've got the Margiela Tabby Toe Mary Janes that, you know, is kind of like the grail for a lot of women.
Yeah, I think this is a really good observation, actually, about it being a good year for women. I feel like also women's preferences with sneakers have been kind of what the overall trend has been also. Like, I feel like women were the first one who were really into those super flat shoes, like the one from Dries Van Noten, for example. Yeah. Also like you know, obviously like the Margiela, what is it, the Prada Sprinter or Margiela Sprinter, I forget which brand makes the Sprinter, but those really flat shoes that we've seen now, like even, you know, Jacques Mousse and Nike made the Moon shoe as well. Yeah. And those kind of shoes became super popular this year, like these kind of thin, flimsy, almost no midsole type of shoes.
It's like almost like a ballerina that you pull on, right? But I mean, this is just two dudes talking, right? So this is our perspective. I would love to hear any female listeners, sneakerheads that are kind of, following our conversation. Give us your thoughts. Was 2025 a good year or a better year even for women's sneakers?
Yeah. So from my perspective, I felt like overall it wasn't maybe a particularly strong year for sneakers. There weren't any like sneakers that I felt, you know, drove that much of a conversation this year compared to previous years. Also, like even some top tier releases, I felt like they just kind of came and went. There wasn't much noise that we usually see with like the sneaker blogs and stuff like that. So that could be maybe because, I don't know, just the hype cycle right now is not so high, or it could be just the sneakers themselves weren't that great that deserved so much conversation to begin with. I think it's a little bit more of, I mean, it's definitely a bit of both, but I also think it just wasn't that strong of a year for me, at least as someone who's been in this space for a few years. And also the other big observation for me was it's kind of incredible to see like how much popularity Jordan Brand lost this year. Mm-hmm. I mean, when you look at, on paper at least, all the pairs that released this year, it's any Jordan fan's like wildest dream if you want to think about it, right? Undefeated fours, Black Cat fours, then like White Cement fours, you know, like Chicago lows. What was crazy to me was not the fact that they didn't sell out. I kind of expect that with the way things are going on right now, but the fact that these super, you know, coveted pairs, coveted colorways were going on sale, you know, sometimes like 40% off. Like I told you the price I got the Shattered Backboards for, you know, pairs like the Chicago ones, you know, like those pretty much going on sale, at least in Europe, they went on sale like 2 days after dropping in some stores, you know, like it's kind of like crazy to see, especially because even a pair that like that was really well done. This 2025 version was even better than the 2016 one, the Chicago lows.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's a good call. And I mean, about your point with the sales, it just shows like the retail landscape and where that's at right now. Stores are struggling, right? Sure. So they're trying to get, you know, money where they can, one up each other basically, because I mean, we've said it before, there's no better time to buy sneakers than right now, just because Absolutely. You can get sneakers for retail or less pretty much anywhere. the stock levels are so high across the board, all brands, all types of releases, that the market is diluted. And so retail stores, brick and mortar stores, are really, really struggling, really, really fighting to survive. There's been a few closures as well in Germany. A Like store, for example, really, really sad.
Heisenbeidi,
but yeah. I mean, I feel like that was a long time coming. Just because I felt like the brand resonance wasn't really there for Heisenbeidi. People came to Heisenbeidi for their opinion, but not for their product. You know what I mean?
Yeah, got it.
I think that's a really good take, that that the landscape of sneakers is changing, that people are also not really into Jordans. I mean, I love my fours, but yeah, they are so uncomfortable when you've been wearing 860 V2s for the day before, whatever. There's a huge difference.
Yeah, definitely. And also, I think Nike had a strategy this year of pulling away from, the major brick and mortar retailers, like a Foot Locker or like a JD Sports. And the shoes that kind of took the place on the shelves there were a lot of these ASICS models. Even some Sauconys also showed up on the shelves there. And all these consumers who are just super casual consumers, just walking on the main street, popping into JD Sports looking for a pair of shoes. Now they're seeing ASICS in front of them. And I think that has also contributed a lot. I think that was kind of a miscalculation on Nike's part to just try to do direct to consumer mainly.
Mm-hmm.
So that's part of what's led to this rise of ASICS also, I think.
Yeah, for sure. Nike is going to struggle to get back there. We talked about it last year as well, and also half year, that the changes Nike's making now, we're not going to see for another year and a half to 2 years. So I think 2026 will be an interesting year to see if they can bounce back, or if it's more of a slide before anything.
I think they will, man.
They will eventually, right? It's just a question of, is that in 2026 or is it later, right?
Yeah, it's true.
Cool. Now we're going to move into our honorable mentions, and we both have quite a solid list here.
We have a big list of honorable mentions.
I mean, and this, on the flip side shows that there have been quite a lot of nice shoes this year. So if it's cool with you, I'm just going to rattle off both of our lists, because I think there are a couple of duplicates here. Don't really have to go into too much detail about each of them, because we're going to talk about our top fives next. But, this year had the Air Jordan 11 Gamma Blues, the Adidas Pharrell Jellyfish, the Nike Ava Rover, the Nike Pegasus Premium, which was actually a real hit, I would say, both on the lifestyle and performance side.
For sure. One of Nike's best shoes.
Yep.
And did you mention, the Ava Rover already?
Ava Rover
That's also a very interesting shoe, actually.
Yes.
In terms of lifestyle, one of Nike's best this year. Yeah.
Yes. And also the first time in a very long time that Nike brought out a new shoe that actually resonated with people.
It does kind of look like the React Elements, no?
A little bit.
87s, the React Elements.
It's a little bit of a throwback to those, which is funny because those came out, 5 years ago, right? So
yeah, that was pre-pandemic for sure.
That was pre-pandemic. At the height of sneaker hype.
Yeah.
We got the Kith New Balance 993s, the Joe Fresh Goods New Balance 992s, the New Balance 2000 Absorb, which I know you were a huge fan of. Adidas Climacool, the one that was full Climacool, slip on and with laces.
Oh, the 3D fully 3D printed
exactly.
one?
Exactly.
Yeah, the only thing with these 3D printed shoes is what if you step in mud or something? I don't get what they're just so unpractical to
Gotta
me.
Get your toothbrush out and just, all the crevices.
That's why I've been so hesitant about these shoes, it's why even those Adidas Ultra Boost 4Ds, I was always scared of wearing those.
Yeah, true. There's a lot of dust that gets in there, and they're harder to clean than you think. We had the Puma Mostro Phase, which we talked about before, the Undefeated Fours, the White Cement Fours, which you mentioned, ASICS Gel Quantum AMP, which you also mentioned, the Vans Souvenirs, super nice pair.
Okay, the Vans, so we got to talk about, that could be prediction for 2026 based on how Vans have performed towards the end of this year. And that pair, the Vans Souvenir, the Chanel bag one, I feel like that one really suddenly put a spotlight back on Vans. And now we have Vans selling out.
Yeah, true.
There was this recent Pearl Pack 2 that completely sold out. Since when are Vans selling out?
You got the Levi's Air Max 95s, the New Balance 204Ls, the Clot Adidas Boots, Awake New York Jordan 5s, Brick by Brick Jordan 4s, Nigel Jordan 1 Low.
Wait, we should make it clear that right now you're reading my honorable mentions.
Yes.
And earlier you were reading yours.
Yeah, so. But I feel like they they're quite fluid. I mean, there's a lot of like, not overlap, but you know, we both have the undefeated fours here.
Yeah. But like the Brick Break Jordan fours, for example, it's on a lot of people's top 10, top five list. Since we were just making a top five, for me, it didn't make my top five list. Like, it's on the fringes,
on
you
the
know,
cusp.
It's on the cusp. So I had to like, yeah, I had to kind of make a decision about that one. It was a last minute exclusion, I'll say that. So it was like, it was like in a top seven, and but it didn't make the cut.
We were tinkering with the top five until just before we recorded.
I initially had Brick by Bricks in my top five up until like 5 minutes before we recorded. So yeah, the Nigel Jordan one, Lowe's, I actually love that shoe as well. Joe Fresh Goods 2010s on there. We both have undefeated fours in our honorable mentions. There's so many Jordans actually on this honorable mention list. You know, it was a good year for Jordan Brand for sure. Asics and Story MFG, really like that pair. And finally, this is another pair that like last second I excluded it from my top five. The Daniel Qatari 991 V2s, or what I like to call the Dubai Chocolate 991 V2s. Because it's got, you know, the brown with the pistachio filling.
Nice.
I love that pair. Like I own it. I wear it a lot, get compliments on it. Great pair. But not good enough to make the top five because there were some strong pairs that I thought belonged in the top five. So those were our honorable mentions, quite a lot in there. But now let's get into the top five. So, Bobs, you give me yours first.
I'll kick us off. So mine is a New Balance, and it's the 2010 Absorb.
So you mean just the model?
Just the model. If we're going to go with a colorway, I really like that. Was it like that brown-green pair, you know?
Okay, I know what you mean.
The one that looks like it could have been, I don't know the official name, but it looks like it could have been Emily on Door collab. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I got you.
Yeah, that one is just super nice. And in general, I like the New Balance 2010 because it's got this like nice kind of narrow running profile, like from the heel to the toe. Sounds very technical, but the stack height, like from the heel to the toe, like it runs really smooth. Looks really comfortable. I've never worn them because, like I said, I haven't picked up a lot of shoes this year. But just from the color blocking available also on the upper, I feel like you can do a lot with that sneaker. There's been a lot of nice collaborations as well. But I do like that general release colorway. Solid shoe. I think New Balance shows that it continuously and consistently can release shoes, whether new, old, hybrids, kind of reimagination or reimagining of older versions of shoes. They just always get it right. You know, it's always so tasteful. It's always so on point. It's always so on brand. And this 2010 is no different.
I would say New Balance came out with three really good new models this year. 2010s for sure, very strong. 204Ls could have easily been on top five. And also the Absorb 2000.
Yep.
Super techy Y2K looking shoe. Those are all great. The 2010s, the only reason I don't rate that shoe too much is because I've worn it. And for me, it's, at least with my feet, I find it rather uncomfortable for a New Balance shoe. It's a bit narrow, which is weird. Yeah. New Balance shoes are typically quite wide. This one I find too narrow when I go true to size, and going a half size up is just a bit too big. So it just doesn't fit me. So it's not a shoe for me. But I do agree with you. The paneling leads itself to like a lot of cool colorways that we've seen on there. The Joe Fresh Goods one, I think, is the best one.
That one's nice
year
too.
With the that weird like snakeskin almost. It looks like the snakeskin print, even though it's not really snakeskin. But I really like that one. I mean, out of all the new models that came out this year, you can make an argument that that was the best one from New Balance. Yeah.
Yeah, it just looks like it's been a shoe that's been around for a long time, right? Like, it doesn't look out of place, but it still has this, like, I haven't seen that before, you
know? Exactly. Yeah, that's what's cool about that shoe, actually. It doesn't seem like a new model. It seems familiar, but it's at a cheaper price point than, let's say, the Made in USA stuff, right?
Yeah, and that's super important in today's economy as well. I think, you know, we're very privileged that we can afford to buy so many shoes.
Yeah.
Or if we wanted to buy so many shoes week on week, month on month, year on year, because shoes are not cheap, man. Like, you know,
hell no.
160, 180, 200, 250 sometimes retail. It's a lot of money, you know?
For sure. Especially nowadays, man, with how expensive everything is.
I mean, a donut costs almost 10 euros, man. So
that's insane, dude. Man. That's ridiculous.
We're cooked, man. The game's gone. Game's gone.
Game's gone. That's one of my favorite phrases nowadays. Yeah, game's gone.
What about you? What was in your top five, or what was your fifth?
At number five, I have the Shays. Shay 001. I thought it was the best basketball sneaker to come out this year. It's huge also because for Converse, they haven't had a major basketball shoe in quite a long time. I also think it's been a while that there's been a basketball shoe that can be worn for lifestyle purposes. And what I really like about how Shay has, you know, showcased his shoe is that he incorporates that shoe almost 100% into his life, right?
Yeah, true.
Like, he wears it on and off the court every day, different colorways, you know, like. And I think that's the way it should be. Like, if a signature athlete is getting his own shoe, but he doesn't wear them, like a Devin Booker, for example, this guy, like, pulls up to the game every time, like, just holding his shoes in his hand. Like, he never actually wears them, you know? Like, even though that shoe, it was marketed by Nike as, like, all right, this is going to be the perfect everyday you can wear an off-the-court basketball shoe. Well, your main guy doesn't wear it off the court. He's not
even wearing them off the court.
He's not even wearing it off the court. So, I mean, like, that's what I like about how that shoe has been marketed. And just, you know, objectively speaking, I think it's a great looking shoe. It's cool. Recently, there was a video about how the shoe got designed. Shay had a lot to do with the actual final look of the shoe, which is really cool as well. And yeah, of course, like, maybe I'm slightly biased, okay, because I'm a big fan of SGA, of course, but I had to, there's no way I could have done a top five and not talked about this one.
No, it's a solid shoe. And I think what helps it is that it's kept relatively simple, which is why a lot of colorways work on it. And a lot of the colorways are very tonal, right? Like monochrome.
Yes.
Which then obviously help styling it off the court. The thing with the books, right, is that they're kind of supposed to be simple too, but I find them almost too bland.
Yes.
What I mean? They're just kind of like, and I saw that they came out with a what the books now. And I'm just like, bruh, these shoes have not reached that level of cultural relevance yet to have a what the shoe.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like the P-Rods, the Kobe's, the whatever. Like, sure, do a what the on those. But on the books, I mean, that's Nike just being desperate and trying to push them.
Oh, man, absolutely, dude. The one negative thing I'll say about this shoe is, like, the rollout was terrible.
Yeah.
I just don't understand why when OKC was in the finals, you know, like, the whole spotlight is on OKC, on Shay. Everyone's just talking about Shay 24/7. Why don't you drop the shoe then? Instead, people were like, okay, we want the shoe right now. We can't get it. And by the time it actually rolled out, which was in September, yeah, like, of course the hype died. We were already talking about next season at this point, you know, like, I just feel like Converse completely blew that release. I just don't get why. And the shoes, I feel like the shoes were ready. I mean, Shay was rocking them for months.
I mean, it's different having, like, a your own player edition shoe versus mass, because they probably wanted, like, you know, the distribution rollout had to be, you know, a certain way. But you're right. They probably could have released, I don't know, like 500 pairs. We're going to take 500 pairs that are actually supposed to release in September, release them early, maybe only in Canada or only in Oklahoma City, like that, just to, like, get the hype going, get people wanting them, something like that. That would have been really, really cool. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, yeah. So that was a misstep, but yeah, let's move to number four.
So my fourth sneaker is the Nike Air Jordan 4 Brick by Brick by Nigel Sylvester. And I mean, I really like the orange colorway, the one that you brought onto the show a couple episodes ago. I got to see it in person, just like see the color, because I know the color is often a little bit different to the product images. But I also really, really like that unreleased version, the white and orange one.
I heard it might release next year, or
I really hope so. Okay. Because then this will be on my top five again next year.
Okay.
No, but in general, I really like what Nigel Sylvester is doing with Jordan Brand, the Bike Air. You know, I have the four RMs by him, the triple black ones with the red mini swoosh. His Air Jordan 1, the very first one that came out, really, really good.
The lows are really nice too.
I think he's just a likable guy, and what he does, the storytelling that Jordan Brand does through him, they should be doing more stuff with him, more stuff with others like him, because I think it's working really well. The fashion show when they announced the shoe was a bit weird, because it's like, why is Nigel Sylvester doing this private fashion show?
Yeah, weird.
That was weird. But in general, super nice shoe. It was in your honorable mentions. It's in my top five, and I think it definitely deserves to be in and amongst, you know, the top five, top 10. Yeah.
Yeah, easily, easily. Probably, I mean, I think best Jordan of the year, you could argue.
Yeah, that's a good call.
Fourth for me, I had to include this pair. This is the Adidas Evo SL.
Nice.
This is a pair that I had to have here because I just couldn't stop seeing it. It was everywhere. Anyone I know is into running, they, you know, got this pair. If you just started getting into running too, people would recommend get the Adidas Evo SL. It's kind of crazy how in such a short amount of time, this shoe became like the de facto like running shoe for beginners, you know, and it makes sense why, because especially when you wear it, I've worn it, I've ran in it. I can, you know, it feels super responsive. Like going from, I was wearing like Nike Flyknits before, and then I went to the Adidas Evo SL. Yeah, like I couldn't notice it. Like I'm like, okay, I feel a little bounce in my steps, you know, and it feels like for that price point of 150 euros, it feels like you're getting a really strong performance running shoe for a decent price.
Yeah.
And yeah, and I just like also the just like the way it looks, you know, and it looks very fast with like those huge stripes along the side.
Adidas running, just their shoes look fast.
Yeah, yeah, they look great, and they've gotten super popular. I feel like in just if you look at sales volume alone, like you just for that reason alone, you have to have this shoe in like a top five or a top 10 list. Yeah, and so big shout out to Adidas, man. Evo SL. My first like real running shoe. I got into running this year, and I love it.
Yeah, man. I actually we were talking about tinkering a little bit earlier. This shoe was in my top five. It was in my top five for the half year, I think, as well.
Yes, yes.
I took it out in favor of my next shoe. But yes, I would say this was like a 5.5 for me, or like six. Mm-hmm. If we did a top six, it would have definitely been there. Super, super good shoe, and one that I'm. Probably when it's time to get new running shoes, we'll look into getting. Right now, I got my A6 Giacayano 26s, which I'm very, very happy with. Mm-hmm. But I might want something that looks a little bit sexier. And the Evo SL definitely looks very, very nice. Especially the classic white and black colorway.
You seen the new hard copy one with the polka dots?
No, I didn't see that one.
It just came out today. Like pictures released today. Yeah. It's like red polka dots. It's weird, but like it's hard copy too, so it's cool.
Polka dots are in.
Yeah,
polka dots are in, so that's a good call. No, but the shoe that replaced these and moving into the top three now is the Zellerfeld Nike Air Max 1000. Ooh. And you know, and everybody listening knows, I love technology.
Yes.
I love tech when it comes to sneakers. I love 3D printed shoes. I love what Zellerfeld has been doing. I have Zellerfeld shoes at home that I bought. I interviewed them back in the day when I worked for High Snobiety. Mm-hmm. Cornelius, the founder, and the rest of the crew, and I love it. I love the fact that they took the Air Max 1 and brought it into the future. And for me, this is like what they should be doing with the Air Max line, right? Not making these weird Air Max.
Yeah. God. Ugly. If there was like worst shoe of the year list, that one is top three, top one.
Nah, miss me with that stuff. But the Air Max 1000 is really cool because it's kind of like a really nice fusion between like 3D print, but then with the air bubble infused in the heel, just looks super dope. I signed up for all the raffles. I didn't get a pair. I really wanted one. I know they did an Air Max 95,000 or whatever they called it now, right? Like, so
yeah, I've seen it.
Yeah, which I wasn't a huge fan of. I thought the Air Max one was better done. Yeah, so super solid shoe, high tech, bringing Air Max into the future, top three for me.
Yeah, I think a lot of people had this shoe as far as like best new innovative releases of the year. Yeah, it was great. I wish it was more accessible though, because they were so hard to get. So But like, I mean, actually, the shoe I have at number one was not accessible at all either. So yeah. Anyways, my number three was actually the shoe on your table right there, the Salomon XT6, XT MM6, I should say. Yeah, the reason I have it on there is because I've been a fan of Salomon for a long time, and I love that I finally have a pair of Salomons that is actually comfortable. That's the one knock on Salomon. It's always been a super uncomfortable shoe.
Yeah.
And because I do have a slightly wider foot than normal, and I love the wider toe box on these. I love that they removed the traction. It feels comfortable. I love the Margiela branding on there, of course, the subtle flex on the toe box. The colorways that they released into, like the red one and the white and the black, they're all really dope. I'm looking forward to seeing if Salomon will actually create like a general release version of this shoe. I kind of doubt it just because the name literally says XT MM6. So I'm wondering if it's like a Maison Margiela exclusive or not, because I feel like the streets are asking for a general release version of this shoe. I think it's, yeah, I mean, it's excellent. I also like how the Salomon branding is a bit bigger along the side. Yeah, I mean, this is like the best Margiela and Salomon pair. We've seen a lot of good ones. Like, I like those mules also. But for me, this was the best one. And yeah, favorite Salomon, I think, the release so far. So I got to have it in my top five.
So, yeah, I mean, we can just continue talking about the shoe because this is in my on spot two for me.
Okay.
And wow. Yeah, it's quite high up considering I just got it today and haven't even worn it. But everything you said, I mean, rings true. I think also that this shoe or this model shows you that when brands work together and kind of really collaborate on a deeper level, rather than just slapping MM6 colorways and branding onto existing shoes like the XC6, the Mule, etc., but like actually developing a shoe together, you know?
Yeah.
Because I feel like that's what's been done here, right? Like, you've got the Margiela designers, the Salomon designers sitting together and really like, okay, what tweaks can we make? What is possible from a technical standpoint? Yeah. How can we bring the MM6 DNA into this shoe? And then you're left with a shoe that is better, that takes things further. And I think all collaborations should strive to be like that. We've seen it with New Balance as well in the past. And Pata, Nike with the Air Max 1 Wave, right? Like where brands and retailers and creatives are sitting down and like, okay, we could just do another colorway or logo link up. But what if we do something more? And I think that's kind of like, when you hit that plane, when you hit that level as a brand and as a collaborator, you're cooking, you're doing great things. And that's why this is my second favorite shoe of the year.
Yeah, it's dope. I started following the creative marketing agency that has worked with Salomon over the last year. And I was listening to an interview by the founder, and he was talking about how when they approached working with Salomon, they just looked at, okay, who is the Salomon consumer? And it's not as much as like Salomon likes to think that, you know, they're like this hiking brand, that outdoorsy brand. What this agency found was that really the biggest consumers, the most people buying Salomons were like the ones who were more fashion forward a little bit, and they just like the way the shoe looked. So they switched their marketing more so towards that direction a bit. And I feel like this collab is one of the first like collabs you've seen from Salomon that is like a complete departure from the, you know, the whole hiking Gorp core vibe. It's, they made this shoe to go and buy an expensive matcha with, you know, like this is a shoe for that. It's clearly, you're not supposed to wear this trail running, right? Like, that's obvious.
Yeah.
And I like that Salomon took it in that direction.
Nice. Big facts. Yeah. What about you? What was your top two?
Also, number two was the shoe that I had at number one during the halftime, the halfway list, and that is the Lil Yachty Air Force Ones, the green and yellow and red pair. I'm not a huge Air Force One guy, but this pair just looks so sick. I've been trying, like I've been on Vinted, like messaging people like, hey, can I get a good price on these? And no one wants to sell it for less than 500. I'm not paying 500 for that. I'm sorry. I'm done paying 500 euros for shoes, man. Those are like the hype beast days.
But, it's a very responsible take.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm never paying that much for shoes again. But this was just a good looking pair, and I just kind of wish I was able to get them. I didn't see too many raffles for them in Europe for these, so I didn't really even have a fair shot at them. But I think this is Yachty's best work. And yeah, one of the best Air Force Ones. It gives off like Bape vibes in a way.
Yes.
Definitely looks like a Bapesta. He probably took some inspo from a Bapesta. I think the retail prices, resale prices speak for themselves. This is clearly a very coveted pair, and yeah, should be a top shoe for the year.
Yeah, I mean, I respect it. It's just not for me. I think it's too loud in the wrong kind of ways, at least for me personally. You know, I don't mind a loud shoe, but it was just too 2000s Bape for me without being a Bapesta. So yeah, that's why honorable mentions, not top five. Moving into our top shoe of the year. Whilst you are struggling with your microphone,
my mic keeps like falling down. I don't know what's going on.
For those of you watching on YouTube. So I'm going to go right into it. So it is the same shoe that I had top of the list for half year. It's the Nike Air Rift. I love that split toe magic, you know, and for those of you who don't know, I'm going on parental leave for 2 months, which is probably why the next episode will be
remote.
either remote or will be in a while. But yeah, I'm going to be taking my Air Rifts with me because I'm going to be at the beach. I'm going to be walking around the city or the beach towns in Thailand and generally enjoying life, vitamin D, and a lot of fresh coconuts at the beach. And the Air Rift is just the perfect shoe for that. It's kind of, you know, it's not waterproof, but it's definitely something you can wear and get wet in, get sandy in.
Is there a specific colorway?
So I got the, like, I think it's like a melony color, like...
You were saying last time, like a mango color.
Yeah, mango, right? Melon. Yeah. But I also have a polka dot pair, which I think is going to be very nice over the next few months because polka dot is going to be a big spring-summer 26 trend. And then I also have the Aqua Rifts, which is like a slightly chunkier version. I bought those used on Vinted. So yeah, the Air Rift for me, love the shoe. I know it's kind of like a love it or hate it kind of shoe. A lot of people don't really get it, but that's also kind of why I like it.
Hey, split toe shoes are definitely having a moment right now.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So, I mean, hey, this is our list, bro.
Yeah.
So if it's your number one, it's your number one.
It's my number one. What about yours, man?
So mine is the Pharrell Adidas Jellyfish. I had to put this at number one after thinking about it a bit much and tinkering with my top five a bit. For me, it's the number one shoe because we just haven't seen a shoe like that in quite a long time. Like the super chunky, super exaggerated. Like we've been moving towards slimmer and slimmer models over the last year, pretty much since the Sambas started becoming popular a few years ago. And that whole chunky movement, which we had during the whole Yeezy 700 era, that has kind of died over the last few years and chunky shoes have been kind of out. And then you see Pharrell bring this model. Not only is it chunky, it's like ginormous, you know, it's like super exaggerated. I just liked how it, looking at the shoe in person, it looked, you know, like almost like entirely like a 3D model. Mm-hmm. Almost.
Yeah.
It looked like, it kind of just looked like an art piece to me, you know, and I like the whole packaging that it came into, that like that jellyfish kind of bag that it came in. I thought Adidas did pretty good marketing on this pair as well. And I mean, Pharrell, like, this guy can just design, man. Like, I mean, there's a reason why he's creative over at LV. And I was like pretty shocked that he took that model, which is the, what is the name of that actual model? Is it the XLG?
Yeah.
I think it was the XLG. He took the
extra large.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. He took that and he just like kind of like puffed it up, you know, like it's like he just took every single one of those panels and just like kind of made it 3D-fied. I didn't like what Adidas did with the more general release version. Mm-hmm. Of it. I wasn't a fan of it, and to me it looks like they kind of Temu-fied the shoe.
Yeah, they did.
And it looks pretty brutal, especially like the fact that they made a almost identical colorway to the original, but they gave it like a Temu version.
Yeah.
Like at least do a different colorway. Like why do an identical colorway?
I mean, probably because they realized that the OG was just too expensive for like 90% of people that wanted it.
I get that, but...
Right. But yes, I mean, you're devaluing the original by bringing this thing out. It's something that Nike and other brands love to do, but like at least give it like 6 months, you know? Yes, let the original breathe a little bit and then bring out the Temu version.
Yeah, yeah. I debated on whether or not to keep the shoe at number one just because it was pretty inaccessible to most people, right? I wasn't able to get a pair. I didn't win any raffle for these. I saw the lineups of people, you know, and people having fights also in the line over these Adidas Jellyfish. So they were super, super limited. So that kind of sucked. But as far as when I think about a shoe that created the most noise this year, that had the most, you know, coverage this year, the most excitement, I think this shoe generated more excitement than any other shoe we talked about this year so far. So yeah, for me, they were number one.
Nice. Solid, solid shoe. I think, as we have said with many shoes on this list, had we extended to a top 10, it would have been in mind for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very interesting shoe. So I'm glad that we got to talk about it a little bit more in depth.
So let's get into 2026 now. We're in the future. We're going to talk about just one big prediction that we each have for next year. We can, of course, do a whole podcast about this.
Maybe we should.
Maybe we should do a podcast. And maybe that should be the next topic, right? Yes. But let's go for just, we just have time for one today. And my camera has been giving me a lot of problems. So before it dies, let's do, one prediction.
I'll keep it short and sweet. I think the World Cup is coming up. I mean, I don't think the World Cup is coming up. The Olympics are coming up. So It's going to be big, big, big time for the athleisure shoe. So the sportswear performance shoe that is worn in lifestyle, like the Nike Pegasus Premium. I think we're going to see a lot of releases like that next year.
Okay, but do you think we'll have any of these like football kind of shoes, like more so from Adidas?
No, but I think just in general, like maybe some like technology that's brought out for the mainly the Olympics, right? Because football's a little bit difficult, but like, you know, the Total 90 was a big shoe this year as well. We didn't really talk about it, but there were a lot of releases, a lot of colorways.
Wait, is the Summer Olympics next year or the Winter Olympics?
Summer Olympics, 2026.
Oh, I thought, wasn't the Paris one just last year?
Wait. What?
Yeah, wasn't Paris 2024? Or am I tripping?
Like, oh shit, you are right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I am 2 years off.
Yeah, all right. Bro.
Wow, okay. It is the Winter Olympics. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Scratch that. It's the World Cup. Either way, I think maybe this is my prediction for 2028. Yeah. Let's okay. leave it at that. Well, let's go with your prediction now, man.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. So my prediction was, so what I've noticed this year is there's been a lot of stores closing, right? There's been a lot of online retailers closing. We've seen like Essence close. We've seen Louis Vuitton go bankrupt, right? I feel like what has also contributed towards like the decline of sneaker and sneaker culture is people just are kind of tired of how hard it's been to get shoes, okay? With online releases being taken over by bots, all of that. And before I get into a big rant, what I'm trying to say is I think next year we see the return of the in-store drop. I think not only just in-store, just in-person in general. I think Nike will do a lot more drops where it's like, you got to go to this location, you'll get the shoe. Like those kind of like stash releases they have. I think brands and stores are going to start making a push more towards bringing back that in-store experience. We're going to see a lot of shoes release in-store exclusive. You'll see a lot of retailers saying, okay, there's not going to be an online raffle for these. You got to come in store. We got to line up like old school times, you know, like I feel like the sneaker game kind of even needs this at this point.
I think the community needs it. Yes. I don't know if the retail store, I mean, the retail stores need it too in a sense, but also in-store raffles are such a headache for retailers. I know that they love to do raffles online because it's just easier for them, right? Less pain. They can, you know, some stores like to backdoor.
Yes.
And make a little bit more money. But no, I would love to see it, man. I think it would be great for the culture. I think it would be great for the community just to connect IRL, you know, from URL to IRL. Yeah, just, you know, generally connecting with people, sharing the love for sneakers, sharing the love for pickups, campouts, lineups, in-store raffles. I would love to see it, man. I would love to be part of it too, man, because I miss it a little bit as well.
Yeah, me too, man. I've been missing those in-store drops for sure. And on that note, we want to wish you guys a very happy holidays.
Merry Christmas.
Thank you. I know we haven't dropped that many episodes this year. We will definitely try our best to drop more next year. But we want to wish you a happy new year. And thanks for sticking with us for another year. And yeah, see you next year, guys.
Peace.
Peace.